Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, just Josh here at the top of the show to let you guys know if you are in Melbourne, I am announcing right here, right now, a 7-week season of Don't You Know Who I Am at the Catfish in Fitzroy on Gertrude Street. So this is from September 16 going all the way through for 7 Sundays in a row to the end of October. And it's going to be great because it is a new venue. I've not done the podcast at that venue before, but I've done comedy there and it's always very good for comedy. So it's going to be 4 o'clock on Sunday. So it's going to have the podcast first and it's going to have such great guests. All the live seasons have always had really great guests and this one is no exception. And then after the podcast, we're going to have a bit of a break. The Catfish is a really great bar to get some dinner, get some drinks. And then after that, it's going to be a bit of a stand-up show upstairs for about an hour as well after that. So it's going to be a pretty fun Sunday afternoon. Now, tickets for this are at joshearl.com.au and tickets are $15 or you can buy a season pass that gets you into all 7 shows for $75. So you pretty much get 2 shows for free if you're doing it that way. So go to joshearl.com.au for all your tickets. Now, this is not for another few months away. So I won't be saying it every single week, but this is your chance right now if you want to get in, get those season passes, because I put this up about 3 days ago and I've already sold a fair few of the season passes. So thank you very much for those people. I think that's all I need to say. If you are listening to this the day it comes out, I will be in Hobart. And then on Friday night, I'll be in Launceston, my old, I lived there for 5 years. And then on Saturday night, I'm doing 2 shows in Geelong as part of the Melbourne Comedy Festival Roadshow. If you're at any of those shows and you listen to the podcast, come up to me at the end of it and say g'day. That always makes me feel very good. And then the week after that, I'm doing Dubbo and Orange. Now, I'm not sure if I'm going to have a show next week. I'm having a retreat, which is going to be fun. I'm going to be away from any social media for a week. So I might try and do it on the road show, but it's kind of a weird thing when you're traveling around and you don't have much downtime. You have a lot of time in cars, but you can't really record a podcast when you're just sitting in a car. So unless you're Dave O'Neill with a debrief. But so if there isn't a show next week, I still love you guys. Don't think I've abandoned you. It's just that I also love my family and I want to spend some time with them. So, tickets for the Don't You Know Who I Am live shows at the Catfish in Fitzroy on Gertrude Street. Go to joshearl.com.au/gigs. Season pass $75. Single tickets are $15. Hopefully I'll see you there. Enjoy this episode. I had to do so much editing, just so you know. It is, oh man, one day I'll release the tapes. One day when everyone on the panel's careers are completely over, I'll go, oh, well, this was very funny. You're in for an absolute treat. Thank you very much. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Does Steve Irwin own Crikey, the website?
He does. He started it under the name Stephen Main.
Stephen Main Irwin.
Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name's Josh Earl, and this week on the internet, I discovered I share my name with a comedian in America who has an animated sitcom called The Josh Earl Show.
Oh.
About a comedian and his friends who are trying to get famous on the internet.
Wow, that's too spooky.
Close to the bone.
Too close. Yeah. Our first guest. Sorry, what was that?
You should tell that to the Dreamworld Inquest. Because that sounds like a dream.
Edit right up front there for you.
Sounds like a dream that's going to end in tragedy.
I'm really glad there was a big pause so you can edit that out right before you start.
And we're back.
Our first guest is a comedian, a writer, and a broadcaster who shares his name with an American man who has a crowdfunding campaign because he got mugged coming out of the gym Please welcome, it's Dave O'Neill.
I've never been to a gym, so obviously not me.
Got mugged. He wanted $25,000. They raised $5,400.
Not bad.
Not bad.
The thing about those schemes, you can't raise too much, apparently. You can only raise a certain amount. One of my friends met the guy who founded Possible, or whatever it was called.
Possible,
and said, no, you can't. These people that want 300 grand, it doesn't work, he said. Yeah.
But you can go over what you want. If you ask for six and people give you 100, that's yours. Now, have you never exercised?
No, I did join a gym for a while, but it was not good.
Weren't you doing the ads for a gym, though?
No.
That's Peter Hellier.
It's another fat comedian.
It's the other one. The one that's always in work.
No, I go for walks.
Our next guest.
I walk a lot.
She shares her name with a London events manager, a Boston doctor, and a professional grant writer from Tennessee. But the one we have here is writer, broadcaster, and DJ. It's Jess Maguire. Woo. Yeah.
Lovely to be here. I really thought you were going to bring up my chief nemesis in Google Alerts at the moment.
The softball player.
She's doing very well, and it's quite upsetting. The alert comes in, I think, is something happening for Jess Maguire at Melbourne? And it's not.
Home run. Josh.
Is any softball player doing really well?
She is. She's in college, and the career is looking really set. There's been some big hits, and the local papers are loving it.
We talked about her when she was under 16, so now she's up in the college.
Yeah. Wow. I guess with this show, you weirdly follow the careers of people all around the world.
Yeah. Also joining us is a comedian who, when you type his name into Google, the related searches are Reese Nicholson. Makes sense.
That makes sense.
Alex Dyson. And Joe Hildebrand.
Oh, yeah, what a fuckwit.
Please welcome from the Tuck Shop podcast, it's Kyron Wheatley.
Hello.
Why Joe Hildebrand?
Because you look exactly like him.
Get out.
That's a brutal mystery fourth guest.
No, Ian Thorpe was coming out on television. Yeah. I don't know if you remember.
No, he wasn't.
Well, that was the moment. The moment he said, I didn't come out because of all the pressure to come out. And as he said that, Joe Hildebrand tweeted, what did he say? He said, it would be more of a surprise if he said he was straight.
That's classic.
As we know, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But I just called him a fuckwit because that's not the right time.
Sure. Did he respond to you?
Yeah, he said, I'm not taking advice from anyone called Kyron. It's like another burn.
Wow.
Hildebrand using the top shelf material.
Yeah. Two things that you can't choose.
Yeah, he's gone after that. Yeah, yeah.
And finally, is a man who shares his name with a Washington music teacher, an Irish financier, and a Sydney parish priest.
Whoa!
Please welcome back to the podcast. It's Lawrence Mooney.
Thank you very much, Josh. Hello, everybody.
Is that actually you, the priest, on the weekends?
No, but I on Google Alerts, whenever there's Lawrence Mooney passed away, it's either a judge or a preacher, and quite a few of them have passed away in the southern states of America, where I would be more than welcomed because of my name, not because of any other reason. And I like Greeks.
Yeah. First game today is called Social Me Media. Well, I'll read out a status update by the four of you. You have to buzz in and tell me who you think wrote it. Mm. If you get it correct, you get a point. If you're incorrect, the person who actually wrote it, they get the point. Meaning if it's yours, you can't buzz in for your own. Poker face is on. Your first one's this one. Mm. At a footy club yesterday, a man came up to me and said, are you still doing stand-up or have you retired?
Beep.
Wait for it. I said, no, I'm about to do it right now. He said, I thought you were giving a talk. I said, if there's no laughs, it is a talk. Yes, Jess Maguire.
This is some hot, fresh content I only read last week from a young Dave O'Neill.
You are correct, Jess. A point there for Jess.
I know. You're at a footy club and you're about to do a gig and the guy goes, are you still doing stand-up? Or have you retired from all of that?
I'm like, wait and see.
What do you think I'm doing here? I'm not playing footy.
I'm not playing Prince of the Nile in the gambling room.
Exactly.
Who else was on at the footy club?
Just me.
Just you.
Just me. What a treat.
Really, that's lonely when you go to a footy club on your own.
I don't know.
It's nice to have someone to introduce you, split the bill.
Well, I think the president was a cop who told me he worked in sex offences. So,
right.
So I had to sit with him.
For or against?
Am I on the list?
Am I?
So I had to sit with him. But no, it was good fun.
I on the list?
He goes, no, I enjoy it. I don't mind. I enjoy it. That's what he said about working. I enjoy it. Anyway, someone's got to do it.
Just sitting in a room just watching the videos. It's like,
what
choices. Ben Lomas was telling me he did a corporate gig the other night for a concreting company. And he said the intro was, yeah, well, we didn't have a comedian last year because the one before that, well, we know what happened there. So we thought we'll give this guy a try. I checked out his videos online. Who knows? Anyway, Ben Lomas.
Yeah. I love it. So good. I'll never do a football club alone again because the last one I did alone, it was just went horrible. It was the famous Shepparton.
Oh, the greatest heckle ever.
The greatest heckle of all time, which in brief was I was introduced like I was filling in for Matt Hardy. I should have known. The president goes, okay, welcome to the smoke afternoon, which is just like blokes getting pissed and waiting for strippers to come on. I'm the only act. The first comedian we organised couldn't be here because his mum's a real crook, but anyway, please welcome Mr. Lawrence. Mr. Lawrence. So get up.
Like from that Japanese movie.
Yeah, that's right. Lawrence. I wish I was Bowie in that movie, being beheaded rather than being a Shepparton. But anyway, I get no traction. I'm sweating. I'm dry in the mouth and I hear from the back of the room, wish your mum was crook.
That's the greatest heckle ever.
That is the greatest heckle of all time. You've got to salute that as you go down in flames.
I heard someone tell this one the other day on the radio that they were on stage and there was a little kid and they were performing and he heard the little kid say to his mum, when are the funny men coming on? When are the funny men coming on?
Question two. I forgot about what happens to your piss after eating beetroots and have spent the entire evening knowing that I am dying. Bzz. Yes, oh. Lawrence.
Sounds like a Jess McGuire tweet to me.
It was Kyron Wheatley, a point there for Kyron.
Oh. Yeah, didn't have to do anything for it.
I like to tweet specifically about asparagus and its after effects, right. Not beetroot, just
harrowing.
As an FYI.
That was harrowing.
Yeah. See, I just always get a delight because I forget that I've eaten asparagus and I have like 3 seconds of worry and then I go, you got me again, asparagus. But no, I don't do beetroot.
Yeah, no. Beetroot, that's a storyline in a sitcom. I saw that.
Yeah, movie. Peter Moon.
Yeah, was it Peter Moon's?
A Peter Moon storyline, yeah.
Whatever happened to that guy? Is that the show?
Yeah, but I saw it in another show too.
Ironically titled. Whose sitcom was that?
There's a lie in that tweet which is that I forgot. I never knew.
You didn't know?
I never know. Never knew that beetroot did that to you.
Mm. Oh, right. So you thought my kidney, renal failure.
I just, straight to cancer.
Right.
Not that I'd know that that's a sign of cancer either.
What? I didn't know you could get bloody killed by the Zodiac.
I'm here all night. Try the sweets.
Question three. Listen, you fucking moron enabling ning-nongs. You all use gender-neutral bathrooms every day in your houses, unless you're a nut job with separate male-female toilets in your home. So just calm down and stop fretting about other people's nether regions.
Jess McGuire?
Yes, Dave. That was Jess McGuire. Yes, yeah. Point of the day.
A lot of swearing. A lot of anger.
Ning-nong.
Ning-nong.
I love a ning-nong.
Hadn't pulled it out for a while. I like the Sunrise team.
Was that about Sunrise?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did earn it.
You shouldn't watch those shows. They make
they come around on social media.
Oh, that's a
that's
thing.
It's all about the 3-minute clip where you go, yep, they're still fucked.
Yeah.
Ning nong's a dangerous thing to write because autocorrect might take it in a really bad direction.
Yeah.
Not for everyone.
Like, why?
Nick and
that's a personal thing. Maybe that's just your autocorrect.
Why is Jess McGuire calling us this?
She snapped.
Question four. Hey, Melissa Doyle. I love the coverage. You were fantastic. I would also forgive you if you leaned forward and punched the pommy in the throat.
Oh, did Lawrence?
Yes, Lawrence.
Was it Lawrence?
Oh, yeah. So, sorry, Dave. Yes, it was Lawrence. Yes. Point there for Dave. Yes.
Yeah. I watched all 4 hours of the Royal Wedding. Loved it. And this Royal Watcher on Channel 7. No, just switched it on and chose to.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
All Royal Weddings have a very special place in my heart because we got a colour TV when Princess Di and Prince Charles were getting married. And so.
I was at that wedding as a baby.
Were you really?
Well, I mean, outside, like with the peasants, but
really?
I did attend it. Yeah, I was born in London, accident, and it's a great way to see in the summer.
People's princess.
Yeah.
I was thoroughly enjoying it, and then there was this Royal Watcher on Channel 7, and she's every time Mel said something, she'd correct her. Mm. And the other thing that really annoyed me, she goes, ooh, you Australians won't want a republic now. You're falling in love with this royal couple. I was like, you love the royals and still want a republic, aren't
you? Yeah, of course.
She looked like she smelled a lot of talcum powder. That was my takeaway from that woman. Just reeked of talcum powder.
Yeah. She'd really wash quite thoroughly with imperial leather.
Question five. Currently witnessing an old nonna walking his dog along the Merry Creek, and instead of carrying bags to pick up his dog's poo, he's actually got a shovel, and when his dog does a shit, he just shovels it up and chucks it in the water.
Oh. Kyren.
Yes, Kyren.
Jess.
You are correct. Jess, a point there for Kyren.
That's disturbing, Jess. Yeah.
Well, you can understand I was a little bit worried because it was like dusk and there was a man with a shovel along the path of me. And
in the current climate.
So I just sort of kept an eye on him to figure out what his plan was. And then I saw what was happening and it was like straight into the creek.
So you're just doing a bit of backstroke in the creek. You're down there doing a few laps. And
trying to enjoy the clean, fresh waters of Merry Creek.
And this old guy's throwing dog shit at me.
That's terrible.
I carry dog shit bags with me everywhere.
You do too.
As I have right here.
You don't even have a dog. Yeah, it's just so convenient.
Why? Is just for other people's poo?
Because I cannot handle the shame of walking away from shit.
Yeah.
And I've been caught out before, and the only option is a leaf.
And a stick.
Yeah. Or a cup.
And it's just a nightmare.
A coffee cup is good.
Can I just give you a little tip? Double poo. Now, it's something that my dog does do, but you can also blame it. And you go, I am so sorry. I used my last bag, and he's done a double poo. I couldn't have anticipated it. Can I borrow one? And that will get you out of judgment.
I've got names for it. My wife always says it's a Rupert or poo, and it's a contemporary is one, a Sinatra is two, conundrum three, and a Borgnine is four.
Four poos.
Yeah, sometimes four poos, yeah.
Isn't that just the one on a really sort of like stuttery, staticky level?
No, it's distinct.
Four distinct shits.
Yeah.
Wow, do Rupert.
They get, because my pup, they get, the consistency weakens as they go along.
Yeah. To I reckon number three is a little bit runny, and then all of a sudden number four is coming back. The Borgnine's just coming back into town. Yeah.
Now, this is why I got into podcasting.
What do you do on the fourth, though? Do you attempt to...
No, I carry enough bags, yeah.
But if it's too...
And I'd say to Woolworths,
take off a sock.
I'll do some weeding, so I'll get some grass and leaf in there.
Take a tuck with you.
Question six.
Yeah, they're not single-use bags, by the way, Woolworths. They never were.
Question six. David Attenborough said the female beetle will only mate inside the daisy. Damn it, I want a fucking a flower. Yes, Lawrence Mooney.
Kyren.
You are correct. Yes, a point there for Lawrence, off the mark,
yeah. That'd be great.
Flower.
Yeah.
I like that you call him Dave.
If flower was the size that it is for the bug.
Nice.
Sexy.
That'd be amazing.
I've thought of something similar in terms of scale when I've had children.
Jumping castle?
And I thought, I'd love to be picked up by someone who's big enough to make me feel like a baby.
Yeah.
Like a giant to come along and go, it's okay.
Yeah, Becky Lewis just does this wonderful thing where she'll come up behind you and, like, you know when you, with a baby, hold them under the arms and go, a-goosh, 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 a-goosh.
Yeah.
She'll do that to you and it just takes you straight back. It's the most amazing thing in the world. You're just like,
who does this?
Becky Lucas.
Ah.
Is she strong enough to pick you up off the ground?
No, she just, like, sort of, like you would on your knees to a baby. And it's just stuck in our heads somewhere.
Yeah.
Question seven. Steve from Chortle hates anybody that reminds him of his dark, lonely times. But boy, does he love quirky, whimsical, esoteric group hug crayons comedy. Ooh, it's not threatening me. Five Chortle jizz droplets.
I'm going to say Lawrence. I think we all want to say Lawrence.
We all get a point.
I remember that tweet forced me to do some serious Googling about that guy from Chortle.
He gave me a good review once. Did he give you a bad review? I can't remember that.
He hates me.
Does he really?
No, he's given me a couple of four stars, but yeah, it's under sufferance. It's like he does not like the cut of my jib.
I do kind of get it, that it's easier to write a bad review than a good review, but I don't get why he's flown halfway around the world to see shows that are by people who are open micers. There was one about the Lesbian Seagull, which is a great review. Read that one. I don't know who the comic is, but just type in Lesbian Seagull Chortle.
It's true.
What about
the
great show?
His most scathing one is about the guy that sits down on the edge of the stage and
that's the Lesbian Seagull.
I've read that one. Yeah.
It's so brutal.
The review's more famous than the actual guy. I can't remember his name.
What's an over micer?
Open mic.
Oh, that makes way more. I thought, like, I'm in a room with a lot of comedians. I thought they're just going to go to shorthand and I'm going to be really
lost. Well, that's like when he reviews Raw. Like, what's he doing reviewing Raw?
Yeah, it's
why
weird.
Why would he do that? He's a monster. You're right. You're right to take him to task.
But he is such, like, if you were to criticise critics for, you know, being kind of awkward, socially retarded people that live with their mothers and have a pocket full of pens and wear their pants too high, he's like directly out of Casting 101, Central Casting. You got the job, Steve.
It'd be tough with him in the TV Tonight Duck.
Oh, man, David Knox, Central Casting. Yeah, we're going to have a callback. It's between you, Steve, and David Knox from TV Tonight to see who the biggest goomph is.
Oh, edit points. Okay, anyway, question 8.
No, you can't edit that out. Knox deserves his whack.
How have birthdays become a chore? Spends a full day making sure everyone's messages on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, voicemail, text, and have been favourited or liked or replied or called to back. Fuck me, where's the bottle?
Oh, this sounds like Jess.
It was Kyron, so point for Kyron.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not our generation. We wouldn't give a shit about that, about Facebook.
One at the end of the day is saying, thanks for all the birthday messages.
I don't even do that. I don't even look at them. Who cares?
You're free.
Yeah, I'm free, man.
Yeah.
Question 9. Seriously, why are we funding these elite private schools? No. Cut the government cash and let them pursue their Handmaid's Tale version of education. Who was that?
Oh, I wonder who. That'd be me.
Yeah, you can't buzz in.
You can't buzz in yourself.
Oh, I just love the reference to the Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, it was watching great.
But you love it.
I love slagging off private schools. Yeah. It's one of my biggest hobbies. And look, I don't drink a lot, but I'd had a few drinks that night. So I came home and I read the article in the Bad Weekend magazine. You know, I call it the Bad Weekend because it's always about suicide or something going. If that's your idea of a good weekend, that magazine. Anyway, they had this article about the Trinity haircut.
The one article.
And it's like, it's a shit.
What's the Trinity haircut?
Okay, so there was this school in Melbourne, Trinity. It's very elite school. A teacher cut a kid's hair before the school photos and the teacher got sacked, as an example. But the teacher had been there for years.
Brownie, his name was.
He was a legend.
All these alumni came out saying he defines the school and the school's going down the wrong path, and they all started to campaign for him.
Yeah.
And the parents group wanted to get rid of the principal and the school committee. And it was just,
and they eventually did.
Wow.
Yeah, they eventually did. But in the article, they said at one point they went to the Q Town Hall or some, and the old Trinity boys all grabbed each other and started singing the chorus of their favourite hymn. And the mum said, tears came to my eyes. Like, what world are we living in? These people are
these were the problems facing.
And the mum was an e-commerce trader. So it was just like, it was just so much humour. And I tweeted the journalist, the Age journalist. I said, I am just pissing myself laughing reading your article.
Well, we're getting a tax break now. So.
And it's worth keeping in mind as well, like, that whole story is amazing, but then The Age were putting it on the front page as though it was breaking news every day. I don't go on the Herald Sun website. It keeps asking me to sign up. I'm not going to give you bastards money. But, yeah, it was on the front page every day, I reckon, for
I love
like
that it's
months.
On Herald Sun and The Age, because there you've got, like, for the Age readers, it's like, this is a real problem facing us. And for the Herald Sun, it's like, look at these fuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's your divide.
Cover both markets.
Look at these fuckwits.
Our last question for the round. I'm at the point of The Hangover where I'm so hungry and yet absolutely cannot decide what to eat to fix that.
Oh, Dave, Jess?
Yes, you are correct. Yeah, point there for Dave.
What'd you go with?
This is very recent. This was Sunday, and I hadn't drunk for 8 months.
Ooh.
And
it was why did you not drink for 8 months? Incident?
I'm just getting ripped, mate. Just getting ripped. Climbing Kilimanjaro at the end of October.
Punch a few cones.
So why did you drink then?
Well, because it was me mate's band launch, and I just felt young again. Yeah. It was that thing, my friend Mike J was like, you were having your How Stella Got Her Groove Back moment. And I was like, I hit the town. I stayed out late. I had a lovely time. But I definitely woke up the next day going, oh, that has been a while. And then I just couldn't remember. I'm like, what do I do? I walked to get the car. That was a chore. I don't know how I thought I was going to drive anywhere. Like, that was very difficult. Mm. In the end, I went like scrambled eggs and halloumi, and then I went back to bed, and then I got a burger delivered shortly afterwards as well, and then it was the fetal position for the rest of the day.
I'm an expert at the hangover.
What's your hangover cure?
Okay, when you wake up, when your eyes flutter open, get up straight away.
Yeah.
Toilet, wash,
clean. Alcoholic sunrise, that's called.
Yeah, get up straight away and get into it. forgive yourself. You've got to immediately go, I know my head's going to cave in a number of times today. I didn't do anything bad. I'm not a bad human. Probably did some bad stuff, but I'm going to forgive myself anyway. And then drink. Start drinking again.
Mine is
great method.
Cold room, wooden chair, can of Coke.
Well, there you go. Right. Coke gets a mention in Hangover
Cures. Just don't get comfortable. That's it. That's the trick.
Well, okay. Yeah.
The wooden. This sounds wooden delicious. Chair.
Because I think it's inaction, isn't it? That's the nightmare. Yeah. Is if you don't do anything about it.
If you do, but also if you're doing nothing, if you lie in bed and you try to go back to sleep, your head will torture you.
Yeah,
and you'll be squirming in your own juices.
Whereas if you're doing other stuff, you can sort of...
Yeah. I find get up early at 9 a.m, go to your daughter's football match where they give you the role of scorekeeping, nearly pass out, as they get some potato cakes from the canteen.
And do whatever it takes to shit. Yeah. The AGB, after grog.
Get it out of your body. Get it out of your body.
Purge.
At the end of the round, the scores are Lawrence on 1 point, Jess on 2 points, Dave on 3 points, and also on 3 points is Kyron Wheatley.
Yay, come on.
This round is called Never Meet Your Heroes. Now, the saying goes, never meet your heroes, and in this round we see how true that is. And today we're talking about the time Jess Maguire met the Welsh singer Bonnie Tyler. But what happened between Jess and Benny that made it so memorable? Was it A?
Benny or Bonnie?
Bonnie, sorry.
But I call her Benny. Yeah, sure. It's not a big deal. Little nickname.
That's because she takes Benny.
Bonnie pretended that she was going off to get a sandwich, but then just went and stared at a blank wall.
I believe
was
that.
B, Bonnie kept on playing the same joke every interaction she had with people, which was to go up behind them, cover their eyes and say, guess who, and then start singing Turn Around Blind Eyes.
Wow.
Which sounds great, but gets old very quickly after the fourth or fifth time. Or was every it C, now and then. Bonnie was the drunkest person that Jess had ever seen and grabbed Jess by the face and said to her, everyone thinks they know what is best, but they still let me buy a caravan.
I love it.
Jess has no idea what this means, but has vowed never to buy a caravan because of Bonnie Tyler. Now, you can ask her as many questions as you want. Bear in mind, she wants to get it wrong, so she gets your point. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
So where
was
were
it?
You?
Yeah, where was it?
It was the Age EG Awards about 10 years ago.
Oh.
And I knew that she was going to be the secret guest because, like, half my mates were in the house band. And so my friend Angie Hart from Frente had to do the backing vocals. So they'd had a band practice and I was like, are you actually getting to do the Turn Around Bright Eyes? And she said, yeah.
So how many songs did she do?
She
did the other big one. There's another big one, wasn't there?
No, I feel like...
Hero?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holding Out for a Hero.
I was pretty festive. So
can't remember.
So what I remember is that she got on stage, and apparently she was getting on stage. She walked past Pete Luscombe from Spicks and Specks, who was playing drums, and she went.
We don't mention that show on this show.
Oh, not Spicks and Specks, Rockwiz. You can mention all you want.
Wasn't he in Mondo Rock?
Knocked off two wounds there.
And she says, "How's the band tonight?" And he went, "Good." And she went, "Great." And she grabbed a mic and went straight into her set. And everyone went buck wild. And then she finished the whole set. So I reckon she must have done a couple of songs, but I just remember Total Eclipse of the Heart being really epic. And then she finished it with, come and see me at the Palms tomorrow night if you can get a ticket. And then she was like, mic drop and left. And I was like, that was incredible because I'm off my chops. And then my Dan, so I'm going to like dob a lot of people in. Dan Luscombe from the Drones, and who's doing all Courtney Barnett stuff, he'd been playing keyboard for Bonnie Tyler that night. So he was like, I'll get you backstage and we'll go and meet Bonnie. And that's how I got in there into the backstage.
So where were the
area.
Awards held?
They were
Prince of Wales.
Prince of Wales, yeah, exactly, yep.
And so was she blind on stage or after?
She.
Or all the way through?
She didn't drive there and she'd. Gotten off stage from the Palms after a very successful evening. So no. I didn't perform a breathalyzer, but I assume she was feeling good.
Right.
Yeah.
She lived in America, doesn't she, now? I'm pretty sure I interviewed her once on the phone. Not for a radio station, just at home. Just rang her up. I'm sure she... So I wouldn't be surprised if she did consider buying a caravan. Because I'm sure she lived in the Midwest or something.
Like
weird.
One of those stainless steel ones. How did the subject of caravans come up?
Well, that was the point. Like, I don't know how. Like, she ran up and said it, and I didn't really know what to say, but, you know, when you're at that point of being quite affably drunk, part of you is like, that seems quite reasonable, actually. Yep. Like, I don't understand why she didn't go into it.
So she ran up out of the blue to you. She chose you.
Dan had introduced us. We were, I had a drink. There was probably an awkward silence because I was beaming quite happily, and I realise now in retrospect that I would have been quite a creep. Like, I've come up to say hello. I have nothing else to add, but I'm not leaving.
She'd be used staring. To that. She'd be used to
Yeah,
that.
Staring. I was just definitely staring. Like, just staring with a serene smile of someone that's like sung along to Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah, so she doesn't know whether she's going to be stabbed or you're trying to crack onto her or both.
She had been perfectly pleasant. She seemed pretty festive. Pretty festive is a light term for it. And then she leaned over and grabbed my face and said the thing about the caravan, of which I looked at Dan and was like, I don't know what to do with this, but I kind of love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I kind of love it. And then she went away. And I've heard some pretty crazy Bonnie Tyler stories over the years, and like Pop Bitch and stuff like that. So it did seem true to form that she would randomly get quite drunk, approach someone that was smiling at them serenely, and just advise them never to buy a caravan.
So when did she look at the wall?
No, that's a. No, I don't think that happened. I think
that's a different thing.
There's three different scenarios.
There's three. Yeah. So I reckon
it's not all for my memoirs.
All right.
I don't reckon she'd do the put the hands over the face thing.
Well, how many people were there? But did you get in? Just
I got in because of Dan. Because Dan had played keyboards in her band. No, then. It wasn't a huge crowd, and she seemed to be just like. She's off stage. She doesn't know anyone. She's literally never even met the band that she just sang with. Like, she was their last minute kind of scoop thing because she happened to be playing at the casino or something.
Yeah, so I don't believe that she's running up to people in the band that she hasn't really met, putting her hands over their eyes and saying, turn around, blind eyes.
It's like a Bill Murray thing.
That's a different thing. That's a different scenario.
Yeah. Mm. I reckon it's a caravan one.
Dave's locking in C.
Yeah.
Caravan.
You're rocking.
Lawrence, what do you reckon?
You're rocking. Why are you saying that? Why are you rocking?
Do you think she said at a wall?
I am physically rocking. Sorry, like I'm
playing peekaboo or said about the caravan?
Caravan. I'm going caravan.
For Lawrence and Kyron.
Well, I just feel like there's maybe a couple of discrepancies in the story about she came straight up and then at another point she was leaning over to say this to Jess.
Josh, what was your story again? I mean, I feel like I know the story, so maybe the discrepancies are Josh's, is all I'm trying to say.
What do you reckon, A, B, or C?
And two have already gone C, so maybe I'll just go A for the hell of it. Maybe she's one of those.
Which is A, standing at the wall.
Standing at the wall.
Is correct. Yeah. A point there for Kyron. What? 2 points for
Here's Jess. How it really went down. I'm so excited to tell it. No, basically we came up to her. We did have crazy eyes. Dan did get me backstage. We had sung quite loudly along to Bonnie Tyler at the front of the stage off our chops and had a lovely time. And so I think I gave her the crazy eyes and I said, this is the greatest night of my life. And she was like, thanks, they're a good band. And I went, uh-huh. And then we didn't go anywhere and she had nothing left to say. And she just said.
To then just turn around and stand.
No, she said, excuse me, I'm just going to go get a sandwich. And then she took two steps to the left, rotated her body, and stared at the wall till we went away. It wasn't even a sandwich.
That is great.
Yeah.
At the end of the round,
excuse me.
Scores are Lawrence Mooney still on 1 point, Dave O'Neill on 3 points, Kyron on 4 points, but.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Also on 4 points now, joining in the lead is Jess McGuire. Yeah.
Because I lie so good.
What?
This round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. Now, in this round, each of you are given a fact about another person on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah. If you think it's a lie, you say nah. A point if you get it correctly. A point to the person the fact may or may not be about if you're incorrect. So to Jess. Now, Dave here interviewed the singer and poet, Jewel, and afterwards her boyfriend walked into the room and wanted to fight Dave. Yeah or nah?
Oh, okay. Is this late era Jewel? Or
yeah, it's later. I would have been on Nova, though, so it was 2000.
Yeah, your story's checking out, because I was like, if he's talking about early Jewel, he would have been on Triple R, and she wasn't getting airplay, was she?
She was not getting airplay on Triple R.
And yet, on the poetry show, they loved her book A Night Without Armour.
You know the book.
I was a teenager with feelings in the late 90s, Dave. Yes, I know the
poetry show with Alicia Sometime.
Yes, yes. She loved Jewel. She sat. No, she didn't. I'm not going to undo her.
So, I never liked Jewel that much, but I interviewed her. She's wearing a tracksuit. I remember that much. But I like the movie she was in. I like the
Brokeback Mountain, wasn't she?
No, Devil Ride With Me. Yeah, you're right. Same director, Ang Lee.
Yeah.
Where Ang Lee apparently broke her. Like, she never acted again.
Ang Lee. He directed The Hulk.
Yeah, he did. You wouldn't like
Stuart
him.
Lee.
When he's Ang Lee.
Yeah. I'm Ang Lee.
She wouldn't like
also,
me.
I asked Heath Ledger once about, because I heard he was difficult, and I said, Heath Ledger, and I said, what was Ang Lee like? And he said, seriously, when we did Brokeback Mountain, we'd had a whole day of acting in the tent and stuff. That's what we call it.
In the tent and stuff.
And I said to Ang Lee, what did you think? And Ang Lee looked at me and said, the light was good. That was his feedback on the day of tent activity. The light was good. So I was intrigued about Jewel, but she didn't want to talk about her acting. And then, because in those days you just went with a – I was back in the day of DAT players and stuff, but then it just turned to a mic that had a chip in it. So it didn't look like you, particularly old people would say, your mic's not plugged in. Plug your mic in. I say, no, it's the chip's in the bottom of the mic. It tapes stuff. And so it did look like I was just some guy in a hotel room. And so the boyfriend comes in where he's a rodeo guy. He's a proper, if it's
I'm
the same
jump
one.
In, I'm going to jump in now and say, because I know those facts about her boyfriend, and I was waiting for you to drop them, and I was like, if he says rodeo guy, I know he's telling the truth.
Well, you are correct. It's the point there for Jess, but I want to hear the rest of the story, Dave.
I'm sitting on the couch with her, and I'm just going, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then he comes in mid-interview, and he goes, hey, Jill, hey, well, who's this guy? he's interviewing me. Sure you are. You're interviewing her, are you? He goes, where's your equipment? I said, it's here. He goes, it looks like a toy to me. And then he's just like, she goes, no, I can't remember what's his name, Derek or something like that. No, leave him alone or something like that. And I got up and left because it was so uncomfortable.
Did that go to air?
Rodeo Derek.
Rodeo Derek, I can't.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing with your microphone, mister?
I don't think it did go to air.
So what's Jewel's big song?
Hands? Who will save your soul?
These hands are yours.
She lived in a car.
My hands are small, I know, but they're not yours. They are my own.
Yes,
they're not yours. They are my own. And I am.
Do you know the verse?
No, I can't go that far.
Do you know some of the poems?
The verse. I was just really hoping.
Am I thinking of Fiona Apple? That's what I'm thinking of.
I can run through the hits of Fiona Apple.
What's her big one?
Well, it depends if you're a true fan, but certainly initially with that debut album title, everyone did love Criminal, but there were some great tracks on that.
What about you saying?
You are a font.
Yeah, I live next door just to like being a teenage girl in the late 90s.
What about I live next door to a woman who every day at 8 o'clock in the morning would play that song to remind me of the dress you wore when you went away.
Alanis Morissette. About Uncle Joey from Full House. That song's about.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. How do you not know that?
Did she go down on you in a theater?
So Sir Dave Coulier got a gobby at the cinema.
So why did Jessie have a gun? Jessie got a gun.
I think she was abused.
I think it came from that.
I thought you were talking about Full House there with Jessie.
All things come undone.
Right. To Dave, now, when Kyron was working for a driver for a band in the United States of America, he illegally parked over a neighbour's driveway. The neighbour got the car towed, which cost $800, but the band refused to let him pay for it. Yeah or nah?
Oh, what band was it?
All our exes live in Texas.
Oh, yeah, I know those girls. Yeah, I met them in a pub once. And yeah, so what are you touring with them?
I am friends with the band.
Which one?
With.
You have to pick a favourite is what he's saying.
I'm friends with all of them.
And one of their sisters is in what famous show?
She is in Orange is the New Black.
I believe it.
Is it Alana Stones in that band?
Yeah, Yale Stones. In.
Yeah. I say yeah.
Are they an Australian band or an American band?
They're an Australian band.
But her sister is
the song All Our Exes.
They met on the internet.
All My
Exes
Live in Texas is some famous country singer's song. All My Exes Live in Texas.
Yeah, they're great. But I remember
Many you can't name your band after somebody else's song.
What? Everyone
oh my God,
does.
Everyone does it.
Do they?
Powderfinger, for example.
Oh, Powderfinger, yeah. Okay.
Greenspoon?
Well, yeah. What I'm saying is you can't do it. Or you should not do it.
Radiohead? It's a Talking Head song.
Yeah.
Radiohead.
Oh, this is awful.
Silverchair was based on them calling up Triple J to ask for songs, and they miswrote Sliver by Nirvana, and they were going to ask for Berlin Chair by UMI. So someone had written on the note Silverchair.
Do you know that is not true?
Why you shut up, Josh? I hate your stupid podcast. I'm going to close your laptop and destroy it.
It is actually named after the Ina Blyton book. The Silverchair.
No,
yes, it
it's
is.
It's not. It's a wishing chair.
Yeah, it's a wishing chair.
We can't name a band after a book.
Trust me, they came back out.
You pulled out no facts there to change my mind.
Okay, no, there's an interview where they all said, no, we tried to be
Mr. I sit in a cold room on a wooden chair. Huh?
You've had that argument before. You had your list too ready. You just bombarded me with song names.
I reckon those girls, they seemed really nice. I reckon they would at least agree to split it half and half. So I'm going to say no.
It was true. They didn't let him
pay
at all.
No, they didn't let him
pay at
all.
No, they were nice. Oh, you were right. They were nice.
Anyway, point there for Kyron. Like
you gave them 50% asshole in that story. They're all right, girls. They pay at least half.
Yeah. So, well, they were going around, and they had to drive, and they were supporting Midnight Oil, actually.
Oh, whose song is that?
No. The Rolling Stone song.
The great whose song is the run?
Oh, hang on. Well,
you're going to start shots.
Mooney's car.
So I drove him. I drove him around the west coast.
Was that fun?
Yeah, it was so much fun. Just going to Midnight Oil gigs.
Did you meet Pete?
Trying to find your car.
Yeah, and trying to find the car. And because San Francisco, the garages just don't look like garages. They just it's very hard to spot.
And they don't have a keep clear 24-hour sign on like every gate in Melbourne.
Yeah. So I parked there, woke up in the morning, no car. That was a hard one to break to the band. Who were making exactly zero money on this tour.
Well, minus 800 now. So yeah. Thanks. So to Kyron, a few years ago, Lawrence got a text from an old flatmate asking if you could help out with some tickets to the musical Matilda. Lawrence had not spoken to this guy for over 20 years and also had no affiliation with the show Matilda. Lawrence said, leave it with me, and then half hour later texted back saying, they're on the door under your name, even though they were not. Lawrence and his wife thought this was hilarious, especially the day of the show when the guy rang up 5 minutes before the show would have started trying to find Lawrence for saying there's no tickets. Lawrence's wife answered and said, sorry, you've got the wrong number, hung up, and they laughed even more. Yeah or nah? There's a lot in that, so you might want to unpack it.
There is a lot in that.
But it all sounds so legit.
Who's this guy?
His name's and I went to school with him, primary school.
When was the last time you saw him? Like 20 years ago, what was the context?
Well, he lived in a street called Orchard Road.
That's a song too. Leo Sayer sang.
Yeah, he lived next door to Leo Sayer in Bayswater. And there's a family across the road from them called the Grubbs, and Eric had died. And we were at Eric's funeral. It's like, we've got to catch up. And that was the last time I saw him. And I was, yes, we should catch up. We should have beers.
Yeah, sure.
And then he knew that I was doing comedy, and I think he wanted to take his daughter along to Matilda, which is a nice thing to want to do. And rang
but
me
maybe
up.
Buy a ticket. No, that's what
maybe
I did.
Buy
I
tickets.
Bought a ticket.
Yeah, buy tickets. Unfortunately, is in prison now.
For starting a fracas?
Did he try to get into Matilda? Is that why?
Is that what happened? Or?
No.
The Matilda Massacre. I wrote about that.
No, he didn't.
Did he rock up to your house?
He was convicted of statutory rape. He had sex with an underage woman.
Oh, no.
That's a fact. So
story's turned.
I'm not defaming him.
Because you were instrumental, Dave, in Tim.
Maybe I should have changed his name. Yeah. The weird thing is that
I can
beep. Okay. Yeah, you can. You should beep out his name. what's his name? The guy that won 7 Olivier's for writing Matilda.
Tim Minchin.
Sorry, Tim. Anyway, Tim Minchin. I know quite well. I'd spent some time in London with Tim.
So he was. So your friend's right. You actually did have a hookup.
Yeah, but he know that.
Right.
No, know that I knew Tim Minchin, and so
or whatever that guy's name is.
Yeah, you know the guy. So I'd actually lived with Tim in London in 2005, back when he was just redheaded Tim Minchin, and he just cracked it at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and had a season on the West End. And so I think that documentary about him is all about that period. And so when they've inside the house in Earl's Court, I was looking for myself in the background. No, never mind. So, yes, I had...
Did you consider ringing Tim to get some tickets for...
For Glenn? Have that guy?
Yeah.
Look,
Gary?
Gary?
For Gary. I feel actually very shamefaced about the whole deal because I could have, first of all...
He's raped someone and he's in jail. It's fine.
Statutory. It's...
And we don't call it statutory rape here, do we? Anyway, let's...
No, not, it's still
let's
terrible.
Not split hairs.
Yeah.
He didn't. Could you cut this everything I've said out of this?
People are going, why is there only three guests this week?
Actually...
Glenn onwards.
I'm very embarrassed on a number of levels.
Are we under attack?
It's gone on Glenn's out.
Here comes that giant that's going to just cradle me in his arms, tear the roof. I was like, are you happy now? No, put me down. So I was very good friends with at primary school. We were best buddies. And then I left Bayswater where I grew up and kind of didn't look back. And I've never been into, you know, maintaining friendships.
That's abundantly clear.
God, this is too confronting. So when he called me up, I was like, oh. And I probably was honest with him when I said, listen, I'll organise something for you.
Yeah.
And then I decided not to.
But then you decided to call
to
him,
call him
say,
back and say, listen, they're on the door.
Do you think that's the moment? That's the error.
That's a wrong thing to do. Yeah. And then to laugh at him and maybe... set him on a course.
Oh, yeah.
I'm spiralling.
Because, you know, there's sliding doors. Yep. And I didn't have
free
to disappoint him or...
We're trapped by our paths.
You're trapped by decisions Lawrence Mooney makes.
Yeah. I say
but the
true.
Idea.
You say true. It is... Nah, it was all a lie. Point there for Lawrence Mooney.
Well, none of that's true.
Do you know
none
what didn't check true. Out? That your wife went along with it because I've met your wife and she's really nice.
Nah,
and I didn't
got a new wife.
So this no, that's a, oh.
So is this guy
this
not
one's
in jail?
A real bitch.
This guy is not in
does
jail.
This person exist?
This person, I've just put somebody into a fake story. So all the things that I said about that guy are true.
Okay.
So a rapist is what we're trying to establish.
Yes, great. Yes. Point.
Not Lawrence's fault. Is what
okay.
We,
can I tell the story about?
Yes.
So this is obviously not going to go to podcast air, but I'm outside.
Okay, so to Lawrence. When Jess was writing for the gossip site Defamer, she would quite often get invited to preview screenings for films. 3 years ago, she was curious and checked the old email only to see that Village Roadshow would still invite her to every screener in Melbourne. Because of this, she has not paid for a film in years. Yeah or nah?
Mm. When you say not paid for one in years, have you paid for one recently?
Yeah. Like, he's amping it up a bit. Like, I definitely go to the free previews and stuff like that. But, you know, you don't get invited to all the films you want to see. And sometimes a lady has to take herself out on a Monday daytime to Cinema Nova for $8. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, Village Roadshow.
Still doing really well. Still doing really well for myself, Lawrence.
Yeah,
but,
just rocking it. Yeah. What was the last Village Roadshow preview you saw?
The one where he has sex with the peach. Call Me By Your Name.
Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
It's just an American Pie remake.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is, a very fancy American Pie remake.
Have you read the book for that, by the way?
I haven't yet, but I heard good things about it.
Is it good?
It's very good, yeah, but it's
more
significantly
sexier.
More full on. Mm. Like, for example, where, spoiler alert, by the way, if you plan on reading the book, but where...
I'll never get time to read again, so...
One of them takes a dump and the other one says, don't flush it, because he wants to also take a dump so they can dump together.
Oh, God.
Dump on dump.
And then
this
old
is
guy
exactly
comes
what Family First.
Just chucks it in the creek.
Yeah. It's exactly what Family First thinks that gay sex is, though, isn't it? He does a poo and then the other one does a poo on that poo, they're grubs. And it's like, that's not, that's not standard, is it?
No.
Okay,
no.
Great, I'm just checking.
Who doesn't want to do another poo on a poo? It's hilarious. It's Especially if your poo hits the other poo and it's standing up. So
just go to a public toilet, mate. Yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of it going on.
Yeah.
So I couldn't be bothered. Is it a true story or not?
Yeah. What do you reckon? You reckon yeah or nah?
I reckon nah.
You are correct. Yes, it wasn't that. I made that one up as well. Point there for Lawrence. Another point.
Yeah, I knew it was. You know why? Because all the screens are 9 a.m.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, terrible.
I do. The truth is, I did have a defamer email, but I can't get into it anymore because it's dead. Mm. So anything that I was on for that is gone. But there are definitely some hangovers from doing like documentary reviews on Double J or doing other things that I still seem to be on the mailing list for some. Yeah. And if something is really good, I might be like, oh, yeah, put my name down for that. But I'm a bit riddled with guilt.
You shouldn't be.
But I'm like, I could tweet about it. There's some
rich content. And you're still a journalist?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not qualified for anything.
Lawrence.
Yeah. No. You never were.
I never was.
So defamer. I used to read that a bit.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, when it was the American one? Or when
Why did I used to read Defamer? What was happening on that? Is it the gossip site?
Sort of. But it was an American gossip site about like Hollywood and LA life.
Maybe it was during Dirty Laundry Live.
Yeah, yes, mate.
Possibly.
Yeah. No, I reckon it would have been done. When was Dirty Laundry? Because I quit in 2011
to 15.
Yeah, yeah. I quit to focus on Breakfasters. Because this is going to take me to the top.
That's right. Well, Breakfasters is such a fast track.
Speaking of sliding doors moments, there's certainly been a couple there. So, Defamer was like 2007 to 2011. So some company decided to syndicate the American stuff and then get Australian stuff written. But I wasn't very good at the gossip because it's such a small thing, but I just really liked finding YouTube videos of like...
Before people were hired to do social media, you were hired to do social media for the ABC, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do anything because they had editorial.
There was no such thing as social media.
I was like, can I use YouTube? They're like, we haven't passed that with the editorial things. So it was a little website called Wallace that they made me quit smoking and document it, and that pretty much sums up. Yeah. And then I knew I had to quit when like the guy
Wallace.
That... They called it Wallace because it had a picture of Wallace and Gromit on it, which ages it completely. Yeah. It would have been done in the early 90s and we still had to use it in 2007. And I think still for years afterwards. Like it's only recently.
Got to look it up.
Still using it when I quit.
Yeah, there you go. You know it.
Nightmare.
MySpace, ABC, just passed it.
But I remember I had to quit when the boss came past and he was a bit eccentric and he was a British guy. And he had a hand puppet named Bunny in the shape of a rabbit.
I remember that guy.
And Bunny liked some employees. Bunny very visually did not like other employees at the ABC and would
that
react accordingly.
Mental. That's radio rental.
Yeah. And Bunny liked me, but then he asked me, he's like, I've got a great idea, Jess. Make a Facebook page for Bunny.
Oh,
and that
Jesus.
That was the end.
At the end of the round, the scores are Lawrence on 3 points, Dave on 3 points, Jess on 5 points, and Karen also on 5 points. Yay!
Yay.
This is our final round.
Closing in.
This one is called Who. I'll read out a bunch of questions all about you guys. If you think you know who it is, buzz in and say
Do I have to buzz or can I buzz in their name?
Say your name. Yeah, just so the listener knows who it is, although you are the only
I'll be doing this.
Well, it is radio, so I am the only woman. It's great to be here, guys. Representing.
Even in podcasts.
Yeah.
Barry, Ian, Ballsack, and the chick.
Up until 24 hours ago, there was another female. Can I just say that? Okay, I did try and make it. I did. I tried my best.
Which one have you transitioned? No, that's a terrible joke.
Okay,
cut it. I've got a career. Cut that joke.
I transitioned into this position at late notice. That's what kind of a friend I am.
One, who texted their ex to hold up their dog like baby Simba in The Lion King as they drove past their house in the car?
Bzz.
Yes, Lawrence.
It's Jess.
You are correct, Jess.
Because everyone else has a partner.
But you still have an ex.
Oh, sorry.
What is wrong with you? My heart hurts.
That was.
But I got my groove back, so it's fine. It's not a problem.
Question two. Who got a job? Who got a job in PR because they read in Clio that you get to go to a lot of parties? Yes, Lawrence again.
Dave O'Neill did a degree in PR.
Yes, you are right.
What? Yeah, at RMIT. Yeah, I finished it. Yeah, I read it. It involved going to parties, meeting people and going on planes. That's why I did the course.
And that's why he's had such longevity in the industry because he's lovely to everyone. He's a PR machine.
Yeah.
He goes out, presses the flesh. I really like your stuff. Good on you. Doesn't mean a word of it. It's vacuous, see-through bullshit.
I write press
people
releases.
Gobble it up.
Like it. Question three. Who once vomited live on radio, but no one ever knew?
Jess.
Yes, Jess.
Is it Lawrence?
No, it's Kyron.
Oh, really? Off. Were you sick or hungover?
I was hungover as all hell. And our newsreader was blind, still is blind, actually, Naz Campanella. And she, so therefore she broadcasts from a different room. And what I did is got in and at 6, you know, to be on air, and I thought what I'll do is I'll pre-record 7 to 7.30 until the news headlines.
Yeah.
So I did that, and I went to sleep on the couch.
That's really smart.
Press play, went to sleep, woke up at 7.27, bolt upright, straight to the desk. My body was like, that was too quick.
Oh,
that was too quick.
Wow.
And then she came on. She came down the line, ready for the news?
Yeah, ready.
And finished the song, said, it's time for the news, press play. She started and I started.
Oh.
And I knew I had 90 seconds.
Yeah. And
she hit the sport and I was like, fuck.
Was there a receptacle or you just...
A bin, yeah.
Right.
Oh, that was a tough day.
Graceful, but really good. I'm really impressed. That Weekend Breakfast is a very tough
thing
at
that
place.
My boss, after that, he rarely said anything about the show, but after that show, he was like, great show today. It's like, fuck, you've ruined me, because now I feel like I can do that forever.
Question four. Who was saved climbing a volcano by a man called Katut? Yes, Lawrence.
It was the girl from the AAMI.
Rhonda is the name you said.
Rhonda.
Who was in this room, do you think, Lawrence?
I'll go with Corin.
No, it was Jess McGuire. Point off, Lawrence.
Can I tell you a hilarious Katut story?
Yes.
When I was doing Dirty Laundry Live, it's a live show, and so the Melbourne EP would sit in the box, and there was also two lawyers would watch the show, and if something was flagged...
Why?
Just in case. I never actually got a flag. Sometimes you would get a little, just say allegedly,
yeah,
a couple of times. But anyway, we did this bit on Katut and how the actor was getting married. So, of course, the headlines in the Woman's Day and New Idea had run with Katut, kind of like play on words, and Katut this and Katut that. And so we started doing an article on a thing on Katut, and I was saying, well, Katut's just a liar, and he's leading a double life. And the executive producer, and I could hear him in the background yelling out, he's defaming Katut. He's defaming Katut. And so I'm doing the jokes, but I can hear ask a question to Brooke now, but I can hear it screaming in the background, he's defaming Katut. Tell him to apologise. You can't call someone a liar. And then I heard, Katut's not real. And I'm getting this in my ear live on TV.
Very good.
Lawyers.
Next question. Who once did a very shit gig in Burnie? Who did a shit gig in Burnie? I'm not included.
You?
Burnie. I am from Burnie, but who did this? Who in this
room? Kyron.
Yes, Kyron.
Lawrence.
No, it was Dave O'Neill.
Yeah, for toll shipping.
Toll shipping.
On the day that the it was for toll shipping, they have one, you know this, one route. They go Burnie, Melbourne, Melbourne, Burnie. For straight line. It's a straight line.
Yeah.
It's a freight route. And on this day, the captain decided to turn right in his boat to see his new house he bought in Penguin, which is to the right of Burnie.
Yes, it is.
And put a hole in the boat and had to get towed to Newcastle to get it fixed up. And $1 million of damage. And before the guy bought me on that night, he goes, we've had bad news. We're going to have to sack the captain. And everyone starts, because the captain was well-loved amongst the sailors. And everyone started going, oh, no, boo.
And all the guys linked arms and sung their favourite hymn.
Yeah. No, and then the guy said, anyway, we've got someone to cheer you up. Here's Dave Hughes. So it was a great night. Oh, it was terrible.
I did a gig at the Burnie Club Hotel.
Oh, how was it?
It was very early days, and I was supporting a band, which is always a bad mix. They do
what
set.
Band?
Barrowhorn was the name of the band.
Strong.
And
what song was that from? Sorry, too soon?
It's indigenous for magpie. So it's got to have a song somewhere. Bird song.
Oh, beautiful, Lawrence.
Anyway, so they played and then I got up and the microphone stopped working and wouldn't work, and so I put it down, not knowing that you shouldn't do that, and did just a cappella stand-up. And this bike, he was staring at me, and I was like getting pretty nervous. And he goes, "Fucking look at this bloke. He is shaking like a wet dog."
Because, you know, acapella stand up is just someone in the maroon
shaking. Yes.
Next question: who had to be removed from their first cinema experience because they were screaming for the lights to be turned back on? It was a small child screaming, "Turn the lights back on."
Karen.
Yes, Karen.
Dave O'Neill.
It was Lawrence Mooney, that one.
Oh.
And it was in Mary Poppins in Adelaide.
Oh, not when the
Karen lose a point for getting it.
Yeah. Fuck, I'm losing points all over.
Not when the Child Catcher came on.
Should just say
my
silent.
Kids are scared of the Child Catcher.
Child Catcher. No, yeah.
the lights went down and my mum said, I just went, "No, turn the lights back on." I said, no, that's what they do in films. I said, no. No. And I still do. Every cinema experience.
Great.
Next question. Who almost drowned in Bali and was saved by a member of Puppetry of the Penis?
Katoot. I'd have to be Lawrence, wouldn't it?
You are correct. Yes, it was Lawrence. Point there for Dave. Mm.
Which How did one? He save you?
Yeah.
What did you grab?
He threw his cock into the water and I just pulled myself back. I wish he had of. Here, grab this.
I'll make the boy. And our last question for the game. Who at a gig supporting a band had 800 people start chanting music at them?
Jess.
Yes, Jess.
Is it Karen?
Yes, it is Karen. Point there for Jess.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't have agreed with them more.
Yeah. What band were you opening for?
Well, Alex is living in Texas. They decided when we get back to Australia, we're doing these shows, you should open for us. And it was fine at the start because they brought me on. Mm. So there's, you know, warmth.
It makes a difference.
Yeah, and early on, before the support band, so people are sitting down and they want to hear. Then came back after the support band for the second bit.
No good.
Mike wasn't on for 40 seconds.
Yeah. Oh.
They've turned already.
So I just wandered around pretending to fix things up, just moving papers on the stage. Oh, fucking hell.
So were you performing in a band or solo?
No, stand up.
Stand up.
At the end of the game. The scores are Kyron on 3 points in fourth place. Dave O'Neill on 4 points, Lawrence Mooney on 4 points, but our winner on 5 points is Jess McGuire.
Oh, Jess McGuire.
Take that glass ceiling.
Yeah, exactly. You've shown him.
Now, because you win, Jess, you get to plug whatever you want to plug first. Now, you're doing a big walk and you're raising money for that, aren't you?
I am.
Who do you think you are? Ian Botham.
I'm climbing Mount Kilimanjaro at the end of October and raising money for the Royal Women's. Specifically, the money's going to go to breast cancer research. They sent me a letter. It's signed by the woman there to prove that that's where it's going to go.
Great.
It'd be good. And I promised a friend of mine who passed away, a Triple R broadcaster named Genevieve Blackmore, and I think we had this dumb joke that I would climb Kilimanjaro, raise money for where she was getting a treatment. But the essential part of it is I have to listen to Toto's Africa at the summit.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And it's taken a long time, but now I'm finally, got the savings to go. So, hitting it.
Kilimanjaro rises above the Serengeti.
No, rises like Olympus. This is what makes that line amazing. How can you jam three terrible words feasibly into one line and execute it perfectly? Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. It's incredible songwriting.
So, Jess, where can people donate to the... Because you did a possible?
I did a possible.
Your Twitter is at Jess McGuire, and that's McGuire with a C, so MC.
I'm going to give you good. 20 cents a kilometre.
Yeah, there's a few in there. It's about 6,000 kilometres above.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, meters.
Lawrence Mooney, where can people find and see you about?
Well, I will be touring an evening with Malcolm Turnbull later in the year. But go and see my Malcolm Turnbull clips on Facebook at Big Mal Turnbull.
Excellent.
Unofficial Malcolm Turnbull.
Very, very good. Dave O'Neill.
I do a podcast called The Debrief, and Lawrence has been on it, and all you guys are invited to come on it. I get lift home in the car.
Great.
I do that one, an interview, talk about the gig and stuff. But also, I'm sort of doing a new podcast called Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins, where we get two topics from the computer. For example, we did, what did we do the other day? Steiner schools and cigarettes.
How did you get them back to the Nazis?
Yeah, there's a lot of Nazi talk on my podcast. Yeah.
Was Rudolf Steiner a Nazi?
No.
No, but he Adolf Hitler was one of his enemies. Adolf Hitler hated him.
Yeah.
My great aunt started the Steiner schools in Australia.
Wow.
To be fair, he had a lot of enemies.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, we work out how, we try and guess how they're related, then you're told the answer at the end.
Because Rudolf Steiner was an educational genius. My daughter went through primary school in the Steiner stream, and he took English and maths and replaced them with felt and sticks. Yes.
Steiner kids are very good at drawing borders on their paper. It's
what are the haircuts like at Steiner schools?
Oh,
it's whatever. Doesn't matter.
Riddled with lice.
Yeah, with a net coming.
Dreadlocks.
Kyron, where can people hear or see you?
If you're a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race, anybody here?
Yeah.
You watch RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yeah.
Well, my partner Reese and I do a recap podcast each week. After each show, because there's much to discuss from the world of drag. There's only one episode left of RuPaul's Drag Race, so that'll come out.
I love the drag names. That's what my favourite thing is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I used to watch a few years ago, so I've watched the first few series, and I've kind of dropped out enough because it seems so intense now because everyone loves it and there's so much content, and then there's like the behind the scenes show Untucked, and
yeah.
I was just like, there's a lot going on, and I'm a bit out of it, and so all I can gather from the internet at the moment is there seems to be some outrage happening this year.
It's all about race.
Has it kept you on your toes?
Sure.
Yeah, great.
Right. What do you mean kept you on your toes?
Well, just like that's a lot of stuff going on. It's not just like, wasn't it a funny show, blah, blah, blah. Like that's a big pile of stuff to have to deal with.
Yeah, well, it's just kind of happened quite recently.
Mm. And what's it called, the podcast?
It's called The Tuck Shop.
Oh, okay, you mentioned stuff. Okay, great. Right,
thank you all for playing Don't You Know Who I Am.
Sorry, what's that, Josh?
Thank you very much for playing Don't You Know Who I Am.
To getting a Royal Crown Cola.
I'll see you next time.
Thank you, Josh.
I've got some editing to do. Bye.
Benji. I get that riff.
G'day, mate.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.